Hi there. This is our CPD in 140 podcast on EduTalk Radio, and I'm Ian Guest. I'm currently engaged in doctoral research looking at teacher professional learning supported through Twitter. If you're interested and would like to know more, head over to my research blog, cpdin140.wordpress.com. One of the methods I'm using is semi-structured interviews. And if participants give the permission, I'll post our resulting chat here on EduTalk. If you're interested in being involved, I'd be delighted to hear from you. Just drop me a tweet or DM at Ian in Sheffield on Twitter. Stacey Ram, a teacher in a primary school in the UK and at Tiffybum on Twitter, interesting name, was kind enough to agree to appearing here. So without further ado, I'll let Stacey introduce herself and explain how she got such an interesting Twitter handle. Would you be able to give me a brief overview of your role in education, what you do and how you got to where you are?
Okay, so I'm a primary school teacher. I have been for the last 5 years, classroom-based, full-time. I'm also the sort of ICT and computing coordinator within the school, and have worked with other schools and the university in helping develop other sort of trainee teachers as well.
Did I see on your Twitter profile you're also a CAS teacher?
CAS, yeah. So Computing at Schools Master Teacher. So I did that about 2 years ago. Just as the new computing curriculum came out, they were looking for people to lead the computing curriculum. So I did that training. I've done the Google Certified Educator training and the Microsoft Innovated Educator and Raspberry Pi. I like to collect badges.
Technical expertise then is not a particular worry for you.
Not all the time, yeah.
It gets to us all, I'm sure. Okay. Yeah. Thinking about Twitter then, I mentioned there your profile. Can you tell me a little bit about how you got started on Twitter? I notice you've been on for quite a number of years now, so are you able to reflect back on that?
Yeah, so I joined Twitter many years ago, probably about 8 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago I joined, and it was purely just to go on for another social media website to start with. So I was on sort of Facebook and then heard about Twitter and was mainly interested because lots of sort of celebrities that I follow were on it and just wanted to see kind of what they were doing and look at pictures and read their feeds. And so at that time, I was actually a PA for Barclaycard. So it was nothing to do with education, wasn't anything to do with that. So and then I was made redundant for that job and I actually never finished my degree. So I was in a bit of a pickle and thought, what can I do? And I thought, oh, I'll finish that third year at uni. So went back to uni and retrained, finished my degree and then thought I actually do want to go into teaching. And then started to see lots of teachers coming onto Twitter and then started to sort of change my sort of habits on it. So started to unfollow all the celebrities and just started to follow teachers instead. And then that's why I've got quite an unprofessional name on Twitter. It's actually named after my now deceased one-eyed Yorkshire Terrier called Tiffy. And I used to call her Tiffy Bum. And I would have changed the name, but I'd gone to a meeting with teachers and they had put it onto a badge. And so I had to wear it for a whole day. But then I got quite well known because of the name. So I've never, ever changed it because sometimes when I go to meetings, people are like, so you're Tiffy Bum. And I'm like, yeah, that's another story. So so I'm quite well known for it. So I've just never changed it. So that's kind of how it started out.
Yeah, so it's a transition. It was something social for you in the beginning. What kinds of activities would you do on Twitter? What things might you participate in? What might you contribute? What might you take from it?
I tend to contribute and sort of participate into some of the weekly chats. So they're quite a new phenomenon, I'd say, for the last 18 months. I've been fairly active in those. So sort of UK Ed Chats and the Primary Rocks, sometimes the CAS Master Teacher Discussions, and sometimes been involved in MOOCs, and they've had offline discussions as well, so following the hashtags. So that's really good to sort of clear your thinking and what you want to find out on Twitter. So it almost becomes like a resource bank. So you just kind of follow using the hashtags and people that you know in that field. So sometimes if I've wanted to know a little bit more about mastering maths approach, I've looked at one person and then I've gone through their friends and I've seen who they're following and looked at their bios and found other people and sort of engaged and spoke to people in that way. I do see it as an additional resource for my job.
Mm. You mentioned there a couple of the chats that you've, the weekly chats that you've been involved in more recently, in more recent years. Do you see them as being very similar to one another, or do you think each serves a different purpose?
They kind of, I suppose in content, they serve a different purpose. So the Primary Rocks can be very sort of subject based, but then they can be sort of pedagogical. And sometimes they can just be, let's just have a bit of a moan about something and just get it off our chest and have it that way. So you can still have those professional discussions, but in a very structured way. Whereas some of the other ones, like the CAS ones that I've taken part in, they have just been about teaching computing. So it just tends to be about a subject. So some are broader and some are very specific. And I suppose it depends what you want out of them.
So collecting information, connecting with people, mm-hmm. a bit of an opportunity to let off steam sometimes.
Yep.
Are there any other elements within there that you get from Twitter in general or from those chats? Any other benefits that you'd identify?
That pedagogical know-how. I kind of got a job through it, so that was good.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So when I was looking to become a teacher, and my dissertation actually at the time was about this kind of up and coming social media and new media technologies being used in primary schools. And I only knew of one primary school teacher. So I started to go onto Twitter to talk to people. And I connected with another teacher that was in Northampton, and she told me about a group that met up. I met up with them and I met more people and I met somebody else. And I said I wanted to be a teacher. She said, if you want to have some work experience, you're more than welcome to come to our school. And another head teacher also offered me work experience. So from the back of that, I got two very different placements. And then when they had a job come in and I was doing my PGCE, she'd remembered me and we'd kept in contact. And she said, I really think you should apply for this job, and sort of talked me up to the head teacher. So when I went in, I already kind of had a reputation that preceded me and ended up getting the job. So I kind of put it down to that connection and that initial discussion that I'd had obviously paid off in the end. So
that's amazing. That's quite, if you follow that chain of events back, it might have just been a single person. Well, it was a single person that you identified to follow.
Sweet. So yeah, I was quite happy.
Well, in the middle of that, you mentioned that you said I met a group or went to a group. Was that a face-to-face group?
Yeah, so they were called the Northants BLT, so Better Learning Technology. So they did have a Twitter account, and I kind of saw them all from their website. And then they were having a sort of off-site meeting at the RM Centre in Oxford. And so I asked if I could go, and they said yes. And so I just went along and just met a whole load of sort of, I didn't quite realise it at the time, but it was like a room full of head teachers. So me being not even starting my PGCE, that just put me in a great position really to get to know people and get to know all the different kinds of schools and different ethoses and what was going on in my county. So I found it really helpful.
Absolutely, excellent. Are there any benefits that you would identify that are not so personal for you, that maybe have brought benefits for the school, possibly, or maybe even your pupils.
Yep. So I've not done it so much in this school, but in my previous school, we've connected to sort of authors. We've tweeted people we've been looking at, and they've tweeted back. So we got in contact with an author. We were reading SF Said about a book. And so when the children had a question about the book or why the author had done certain things, if we tweeted him, he would always tweet back. And for them, that was amazing that they had this real world connection. We've also, we tweeted, this came from Twitter. This was years ago though, and I don't think they do it anymore. HMS Victory, the boat. We're doing a unit on rivers and ships. We're based in Northampton, and obviously they're in Portsmouth. And I think they had a Twitter account, and I got hold of them, and they offered to do a Skype call for us before the museum was open. And so someone walked around with an iPad, and we were able to go onto the boat and have a virtual field trip. And that was, again, was just through a connection, a discussion through Twitter that then went off into an email, and that made that happen. So that was a brilliant connection that we had. Also connected with our sort of county e-safety officer. He runs a really good Twitter account. And so built up a good relationship with him, and he's going to come in and do some discussions with the children. What else do we have? I tend to sort of use Twitter to reach out to the community and find out about people and just see if they come in. And we'll do discussions. So we did actually have another group come in and do a stargazing event for the children, which initially I found them through Twitter, and it wasn't a very active Twitter account, which then took me to their website, and then we had the discussion. So I'll say Twitter's my first sort of port of call to see what's sort of around in my area, and then try and have discussions that way.
First port of call, that's quite an interesting thing. Not Google search, then start with Twitter.
No, I would tend to start with Twitter and just write something, just for more local, and then see if they're active, if something's going on, and then you try and have those discussions. And it's so interesting, just even like then you'd look through their friends list and see who they're connected or people who are following them, and then you find other people. And I suppose it's like a breadcrumb trail, isn't it? You just find it in what you want.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned there that Twitter just gave you that initial contact. You were able to go to the website and then follow it up there. Are there any other online spaces that you would identify that work particularly well for you and what you want to learn alongside Twitter?
Obviously we use Google to try and find that information. Pinterest, I suppose, is a social area, so that's just trying to find out ideas for the classroom, especially I tend to use that for more art-based projects, obviously because it's quite a visual medium, a bit more than Twitter, so just getting ideas about displays, getting ideas about things we could do with art or music or those kind of creative subjects. I tend to use Pinterest and have a look. Close to my job, that's probably the only ones I really use in terms of teaching.
But we're in Google at the moment, yeah. Is that an it? Do you use that in the context of your own professional learning?
I have done. I was in a school which was a Google Apps for Education school, so I did use it a lot more on the Google Plus, and definitely sort of connected to people that way. Now I've changed schools. I'm in a Microsoft school. I don't tend to use that technology as much. Now, Microsoft do have their own kind of setup, but I find it's a bit too closed for me. You have to sort of be invited to certain groups and know about them. So I don't find it as open. So it's probably why I've stayed away from it, because I can't do my little searches and my breadcrumbs and finding people, because you do need to know about it all. I have previously used Google.
Yeah.
I'd say probably in the last 6 months, I've used Facebook a little bit more. I always saw Facebook as being that's my private space and my personal space. But there has been this rise of sort of closed groups that people are running. So sort of year 5-6 teachers or English subject leads, or there's a deputy head one that I follow, not because I've got any aspirations to be a deputy head, but it's quite nice to see what those kind of SLT discussions are. So you can kind of see what's going on in other people's schools and have those discussions as well, and sort of bring it back to your own SLT team. So I'd say, yeah, that's in the last 6 months, but the conversations are very different on there to Twitter. Obviously you don't have the sort of restriction on Facebook as you do in Twitter. People seem to be a bit, I don't know, that professionalism has slid, I'd almost say. People are very quick to give their opinion, and it's not always warranted. And it can lead to sort of just fallouts, which I find I don't really want to be a part of. You do see them on Twitter. But yeah, for somehow I think Facebook, it seems more personal. So yeah, so I'm not sure if I'll stay in that space at the moment. I'm just kind of experimenting with it.
Definitely worth trying an alternative, though. One interesting thing that you said within there, amongst many, was that you bring back things potentially to your SLT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that another benefit, in a sense, that you're able to broker, if that's the right word, between this online social media world and the school context?
Yeah, definitely. So this year I've actually joined our leadership team in the kind of middle management kind of position, middle leader. So I'm kind of afforded every week we go to sort of senior leader meetings. And within that, we are asked our opinions and asked for our thoughts on things. And so I think it's important that I sort of bone up on things and I know what people are talking about and understand the discussions, but also to give a different point of view. So I think sometimes in a school, you can be very closed off and you think your way is the only way. And especially when you come into somewhere new, you will kind of want to give new and fresh ideas and different points of view and say, you know, there is this school trying this and why don't we think about that? And so we have had many a discussion and I've kind of been brought on for my sort of understanding of technology and I am navigating our school now on social media. So I would say lots of the ideas now that I'm presenting, it's because I found them on people's tweets and on their blogs, and then I've read up about it. Yeah, again, I suppose it is influencing change within our own school.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. As you're aware, perhaps, from the information I've sent, this is about Twitter in the context of particular professional learning. And it's not hard to find, because they seem to come into your Twitter screen regularly, tweets from people saying how powerful it has been for them, Twitter is for professional learning. Do you have any comments on that? Is there anything that you could say? Would you agree with them, disagree?
I would, personally for me, I think it's been a real strength of my own development within a school and my own professionalism. I think with cuts that are going on within schools, the training that used to be there is probably no longer there. The support networks are no longer there. I know there used to be sort of NQT networks that people would meet, and they're slowly disappearing as well, and people aren't sort of going on that training. So you're missing out on all that support, and I just think it's so valuable that, you know, I can talk to an NQT, but I can also talk to a head teacher who's been in the profession 50, 60 years and get their opinions on a situation. And it does change my thinking, and it's good to be challenged in that way. And I'd say that's something that I probably over the last couple of years have been more in tune to about my own self. You know, not to be so staunch within the opinion and actually just read around it and then sort of gather around it. And it's fine to change your mind about things and just constantly reading. Like, I'll just go onto Twitter. And then, you know, I've lost 40 minutes, but I've probably read so much. And then, you know, sometimes you can get your own plan in off it. So that's a bonus. You don't have to do that. That saves a bit of time. So for me, I think it's been sort of imperative to my own development as a teacher, and in my own profession, I suppose. Yeah.
Lost 40 minutes is what you can have lost 40 minutes. Can you expand that a little bit further? So what would a Twitter session, if there is such a thing for you, what would it look like? Where would you be? What would you be doing? What would start it?
So very often it's when I'm in the bath, if I'm honest. I'm not doing anything. I might as well just sit and read. So it's just kind of that sort of downtime. I mean, I don't tend to watch a lot of telly. You know, sometimes I watch a film or so. But I do like just going on Twitter, and then I'll just see what's going on, who said what. If there's nothing going on, then I'll probably go and look at a few key people and see if I've missed any of their messages. And then I'll start to look at conversations, or I might look up at hashtags. If I've got something specific I want to look up, so if I know that the DfE have released an update on something, then I might look that up and then see what people have said about it. Or if I know in an SLT meeting we're going to be talking about assessment for learning, then I'll start to look at those things, and I'll look at the people that are associated around that as well, and have those kind of discussions. So at the moment, it's been really interesting on Twitter about all this Michaela school, and that's been quite a good debate. So that's been really interesting to follow. And I know that that's then a few people in my school now have started to go onto Twitter, and we've been having those discussions about Michaela. And I think that a large part of that is because we've been reading it on Twitter, and it's sort of spiked our interest.
So that's a discussion that's taking place in the staff room, I guess, or certainly in real life.
Yeah, definitely. So there's about four, I'd say, people from school now that are sort of going on Twitter quite actively. And then sometimes, you know, they'll come into my room and they'll be like, did you read what was on Twitter last night? Or did you see that debate kick off? Or I was reading on Twitter about Michaela last night. Have you heard about it? And then somebody else might be in the room and then you tell them. And so then we end up having this nice discussion, and it's all very professional. And, you know, Save's talking about, I want to be a whatever celebrity, get me out of here. I can't relate to that, unfortunately. I can talk about Michaela. so it's quite nice that we're engaging in that.
And it sounds that it's really helpful to have at least a couple of other people, a few other people who are also on Twitter.
If
we're the only one, it might be not impossible, just a little tricky, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think those people that have joined it, two are also on our SLT. So they've been hearing the discussions. One's doing her master's degree, so she's found it very useful to sort of link up with other academics and sort of expand her reading around her chosen subject. And I suppose the other person I can think of that's on Twitter is really into the pedagogy of teaching. And we follow Doug Lemoff's Teach Like a Champion. So I know that he's then had that contact and been able to regularly update and follow Doug's blog and be able to tweet. And so for him, I suppose that's really useful that he's got that real-time contact. He's not just waiting for a new book to come out. You can have those discussions if you want to.
Fascinating. How would you describe, if you would even use this word, the community on Twitter? Would you describe it as a community or something else? Or maybe even it's not singular, maybe it's multiple.
I would see it as sort of multiple communities. I think there's kind of, with any kind of social gathering, I suppose, you always get your little clicks, don't you? And you can kind of say, like, those people are always on that chat and those people are always sort of talking about their discussion, but never sort of inclusive. It's, you kind of know who to go to for that information and who to go to for that information. And if you want to have a progressive versus traditionist debate, you know who to go to for that. So you kind of do have pockets of people and you know who they are and where you can go. Suppose like in any life that, you know, if you want to go talk about music, you go to that person or telly for that person. So I kind of see it in my own head. I suppose I've pigeonholed them in that kind of aspect. But overall, I find the community really, or that everyone I've encountered has been really positive. And overall, I think teachers on Twitter are sort of a credit to the profession in the way that they have those discussions. Obviously, there's a few people you think, well, you know, just wind your neck in a little bit now. But everything else, I think, I like being part of that community. And I know sometimes I don't always post things myself, but that's fine. Sometimes I lurk and I just read, and that's fine. And then sometimes I'm just tweeting loads of things. So you kind of use it as you want and talk to who you want to when you want to.
So in a sense, what you're saying is it's quite adaptable and amenable to different approaches.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if that saying could be true, said to be true, of what we might call more traditional forms of professional development. Well, perhaps let's go there. If I ask you, what kinds of professional development have you experienced during the course of your career?
So I was on an NQT program, which was run by the local university. So that was a very structured approach to every 5 weeks or something, we would meet up. And what 1 week it'd be about assessment, 1 week it'd be about behaviour, 1 week it'll be about writing, 1 week, and so on and so on. And I suppose that was great in a way that I was meeting people within my area and we were learning about different things. But what lots of people, and I think those numbers are dwindled now on that course. And one of the sort of reasons when I've been talking to people about why that might be is they're saying, you know, why am I only getting the information about marking and assessment towards the end of that course? I want to know about that at the start. I want to know about, you know, assessment for learning right at the beginning, or I want to learn about maths now. So I suppose in that way, because when it's so structured, you don't get the information when you need it. You get it when it's given to you. So I suppose in things like Twitter and when you're seeking the information for yourself, it's relevant to you and you're finding it and hopefully then using it and turning it into sort of pedagogy for your own classroom. So I suppose in that way, that CPD is great that you've got that one-to-one contact or you've got that face-to-face contact, but you are at the mercy of whatever structure that person's put in place rather than allowing for your own interests.
Mm. It's an interesting contrast. So one of the things would be, the as we talked earlier, the capacity to be able to adapt it to your own needs and the fact that it can be more timely, so at the particular time of your need. So they're all important things. What about the functionality of Twitter itself? Why is it Twitter that provides those things and not, well, although you're experimenting with it, so much Facebook or Google Plus or any of the other myriad, or Pinterest? What is it about Twitter that does it?
Yeah, it's quite an interesting question. And it's interesting in, so I delivered some CPD to our teachers at school about Twitter and the benefits of, and we talked about it and they had an experiment. And it was just really interesting how some people ran with it and loved it, and others were like, it's not for me, I can't get on with it. And I think it's that because there's so much information, like knowing how to just sort of disseminate it and find out what you want. But that is what appeals to me, that there's such a wealth of information on there. And obviously it's time stamped and you can go back as far as you want to. But if you know how to filter it out, you can find out the thing that you need or the information, or you can contact the person. So not only am I having links to blogs, not only am I witnessing real life debates, I'm also having real life conversations or real time conversations with professionals in areas that I'm interested in. And I suppose for me personally, for Facebook, I've always seen it as a personal space. So for me, Twitter just seems bit more professional in that you can't always, you know, I can't put an album up of my recent trip to Scotland, whereas I would do that on Facebook. So I suppose because it's so pared down as a medium, you're kind of forced into this kind of short discussion space, which kind of limits the way that you interact with people. So for me, that's the difference, and why I like Twitter so much. But then for other people, they hated it. So I'm still badgering them for it.
No, I think you're absolutely right. There are some people for whom it's inappropriate. One of the things I'd love to be able to find out is, what is it about a person that predisposes them to lean towards Twitter rather than anywhere else? Is there anything that you would identify?
I think because
the people that you know on Twitter, are there common factors?
I suppose that we're all, the people that I know are people that, I'm just trying to think of a way to put it really, they take control of their own CPD or their own lives or their own, they can self-reflect and identify their areas of development or weakness, but they're proactive, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say. They're proactive people that I met. So so when I'm talking about somebody at work who's now joined, it's because they are a proactive person. They are doing their masters. They want to develop their own reading. They don't want to just be told, this is the list of books that might help you. They're trying to engage in a wider society. And it's interesting when going for jobs, when I was looking to move schools and I was looking through like school tweets or Twitter feeds, and or if when I was looking at the job boards, I already knew about a lot of those schools because I knew about teachers that already worked in them. I knew about head teachers that were there, so I kind of had an idea in my own mind what it was I wanted to do, and that's because I'm engaged in that process and that's the kind of person I am. And it's interesting now that a lot of my friends in the area will come and talk to me and go, well, do you know about this school, do you know about this head, what do you think about them? Because they know that I'm proactive in that space. So I think those people, yeah, maybe we're all proactive, maybe a bit controlling. Don't like to be told we can't do something. Yeah, I suppose that would describe us.
In your own destiny. One word you used a while ago now was positive. So, It's clear from what you've said that you are positively inclined towards it, but is there a downside? Are there any negative aspects to engaging in Twitter in the way that you do?
I think you definitely need to be clear in your own mind about what you're using it for and stick to that. So I suppose for me, I had to make up my mind that this was a professional space. Which at the start, because one of my sort of really best friends is on Twitter and used to send me tweets like, oh, look at this funny thing, and I'll retweet back. And so I kind of had to say, I'm not going to do that anymore because, you know, you're tweeting things that aren't always sort of necessarily professional, or you're just having a joke with somebody, or you're taking the wrong way. I think there was only one occasion where I might have tweeted something and my head teacher at the time said, you might want to rethink what that says about you. It was nothing really bad, it was just like a joke, but she just said, you know, in the professional space it might not be the best thing. So and completely agreed. So kind of had to say, you know, that is professional, that's not. I recently got engaged last Christmas, and I was in two minds whether to put it on Twitter or not, because I thought, that doesn't affect my job. I don't know if it's something I really do want to announce. And I initially did, and then I think I took it off because I didn't really feel like it was appropriate for my job. You have to, I suppose, in that way, really, once you've made your mind up about how you're using that space, really stick to it. Sometimes there can be some debates where I think it goes a little bit too far and people forget that we are representing a profession as well as themselves. But I suppose because you can lurk and you don't have to participate, you're not dragged into that, and you can just leave them to it. So I suppose they've been the only real negative experiences I've had, or the only things I can think of that people might experience for themselves as well.
But you wouldn't, for example, regard the amount of time that it requires you. Well, no, I guess you've made the choice to actually spend that time, but is that not a downside that maybe you're putting in an awful lot of time in order to get benefits for yourself, but also for colleagues, for the school, for everybody else?
Yeah, I would never see that as a negative, though. I've never sort of regretted my time on Twitter. I've never gone, I know I use the expression sort of lost 40 minutes, but I suppose in that, I just mean, I've been so engaged, 40 minutes have passed by, and it's been a worthwhile 40 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes. So I've always gained something from it. At times, I do feel sometimes I have too many opinions, which are not always warranted or needed. So sometimes, and I would say this probably for my old job rather than where I am now, I had very different opinions to the sort of the consensus of the staff. And I used to think that was a lot because I'd read so much and had been reading about these sort of changes in opinions. And it made me think, well, why are we still doing this when research says this? Or why are we still doing that where all these other schools are not? And I suppose at times it could build resentment. And I think as I've grown more professionally, I've been able to deal with that and discuss it in a much more professional way. But also just having a sort of an SLT that are more open to those discussions and sort of saying, well, you know, I've read this and why do you think we don't do that? And then saying, well, this is the reason why, or no, let's explore it a bit more. So they're a bit more open to those discussions. But yeah, I suppose that's been a sort of a negative at times.
But one might regard it as a positive. All I heard in there was somebody who's growing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But sometimes you just need to know when to shut up, as my mum tells me. because I'm not good at holding my tongue. If I think it, I'll say it, which is not always warranted. So sometimes when I've been really cross about a certain area, I've had to stop reading about it because unless I'm going to do something about it, I need to stop. And I know that at that time, we're not adapt to change or it's just not on the agenda. So I just need to stop pursuing that for the moment.
I get that. I understand that entirely. We're over 45 minutes now, so I'm not going to go above an hour, as I said, and just a couple more questions, I think it's okay. So one of the things that I'm trying to ask all of the people who've been kind enough to participate is, what would you do if Twitter went away? It's not outside the realms of possibility, given the news stories we keep reading. So what would you do?
I suppose you've also got other, I suppose there's this rise of Facebook and using that as a different social media to engage. But I think from Twitter has come the sort of rise of teacher groups. So there's the staff room, have you seen those? And that's kind of like a micro blogging site, which has a commenting facility. So it could be that I just go more for blogs, and which is what I kind of did to start with, just reading people's blogs and commenting that way. And it was just a lot easier to then just talk to them initially on Twitter. So maybe just go back to blogging and reading people's blogs. But I definitely think I would pursue another avenue to sort of connect with people, and definitely outside of my own community. I think it's so important that as a profession that I know what other people are doing in other parts of the UK and other people are doing in the world, just for your own sort of development as well.
Absolutely.
Take it away.
It'll be interesting to see how that develops. I have absolutely no idea what way that's going to go. You sometimes hear positive things and sometimes it's bad news, but hey.
But it is interesting to think about that as a legacy, because I'm pretty sure people are going to have like their app handle put on their gravestone so you can see their legacy. You know, here lies at Tiffy Bum. And will probably go back and be like, oh, this is what she used to write. And I suppose because it's still quite new at the moment, you think, I always worry about children and, you know, reading back what my 13-year-old self might have put on social media compared to what my 40-year-old self will put on there. So, and people will have this whole digital footprint. So it'd be interesting to see what they do with that.
Absolutely. A posthumous profile.
Yeah, it might be quite interesting.
So in conclusion then, I've managed to get through all of the topics that are on my list. Is there anything that, any observations that you've got based on your experiences that I've not given you the opportunity to talk about that you think might be important in the context of professional learning and Twitter?
No, I just think it is just such an open platform for development and that sort of connections with people outside of your own community, that I just think that's so important for teachers and something that's not really taught, I suppose, as part of your teacher training. And to look outside of your own practice, to look outside of your own community and just kind of see what other people are doing and learn from them as well. So that's probably my only comment about Twitter, really.
Well, I'll just follow that up, if I may, in that going beyond your own local community and being able to see what other people are doing is quite a broad context, perhaps. Certainly it's possible to follow folks across and around the world. Is there still some value in being able to do that when their context may be very different from your own?
Yeah, definitely, because I think it does put things into perspective for you. It's definitely what you're doing and whether, you know, what are other people prioritising in their education system and in their curriculum, that maybe you start to think about, well, maybe that's what we need to do more of or do less of, or also just to see their own resilience and their own sort of creative processes and their own ethics and how they apply those into their life and how you can maybe do the same as well. So I know there's a big sort of push at the moment for teacher wellbeing and student wellbeing. So it's interesting to see what other people are doing across the world to maintain that and just try and put that into your own context as well.
Absolutely. Well, that's me pretty much done. Thank you so, so much for the amount of
time
you've given up. I'm going to press the pause button on the recorders. I'd just like to close by saying a big thank you to Stacey for being so generous with her time, to thank her for her observations, and to repeat my invitation to any listeners who might like to be involved in the project. Just catch me on Twitter or the CPD in 140 blog.